Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Happy New Year, and welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast and the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam, Sam Dracula on YouTube. My co-host, Muggsy Bogues. It's 2021. We made it.
We did. Finally got through it. Gosh, glad it's over.
Yes, yes. A fresh new year to look forward to. This is episode 5 of our podcast, which is insane because I think it's just flown by already. So if you're just hearing this, there are 4 other episodes to check out. So go check those out. But in this episode, we're talking about the continued roller coaster of the Hornets year, the ups and downs. We're talking about the starting five and LaMelo Ball's minutes. We're going to be talking about Malik Monk. And we're also debuting a new segment, Story Time with Muggsy. So stay tuned for that. I don't want any spoilers, but it's probably going to be in the title. We're going to be talking about dunking. But first, more pressing matters. Since we last recorded, the Hornets played the Dallas Mavericks. They beat the Mavericks. And then from there, it's been kind of a slide with three losses. First to the Grizzlies, without Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson, which hurt. And then 2 losses to the Sixers, which honestly, not that unexpected. The Sixers are a very, very good team. Like, they look like they could be the favorites out of the East. So at this point, the Hornets are 2-5. Muggsy, what are your overall thoughts on the team thus far and the performances at this point into the season?
Well, I mean, it's still early in the game. I'm pretty pleased of what's been happening thus far. I mean, you just mentioned, you know, the big win they got in Dallas, which was huge, you know, mm-hmm. especially coming off that win from Brooklyn Nets and then carrying over the momentum going into the Dallas Mavericks. And you having 5 guys, you know, guys pretty much stepping up, scoring the basketball. I think all starters was in double figures that game. And that's what you need. But the bench was the true essence of that game. You know, Miles Bridges came off the bench and did a great job. You got Melo continue to keep elevating his game, showcasing why they did decide to pick him number 3, because he's been electrifying, you know, every time he goes in. And I think coach is doing a great job with him too, keeping him positive every time he comes out the game, knowing that he's, you know, going to go back in, not having any hangups. And then, you know, of course, you know, everybody expected that game in Philadelphia the way it went. I mean, that was those two. That's a, you know, that was a championship caliber team they face. So you got to kind of look at that in whole totality. But the overall play from everybody, you know, Gordon Hayward is still leading the charge, really playing well. Terry Rozier putting up some good numbers. But I think trying to find Devontae Graham's shot, I think the game in Philadelphia starting to see the ball go through the nets and start to build up his confidence. I think they're going to need more of that in order for them to have any type of success going forward.
Yeah, like, as all things considered, the Hornets are in this position with all the bright spots they have, which they do have bright spots. It's like, it's not all doom and gloom for the franchise right now. And they're in this spot without PJ really clicking, without Devontae really clicking. So imagine how, like, the Hornets definitely have another gear left in them. And we're all, as fans, just waiting for that to click in. And that, so, some parts of the fan base are a little impatient with this point. They want to see that now, and they want to see changes. We've seen the same starting five since Zeller went out. He traveled to Philly, so that's a positive sign. I don't know exactly how long he'll be out for. The injury was 4 to 6 weeks, so hopefully it's on the sooner side. And not to further go on a tangent, but Biz, I thought, has been playing very well in the minutes he's been getting. But Muggsy, my question to you is, what are your thoughts on the five, the rotation? Because a lot of fans want to see changes there. They want to see they want to see Devontae benched for Melo. They want to see PJ benched for Miles. Like, what do you think? And in your experience, like, how is the best way to kind of handle that at this point in the season?
Well, I think Coach JB has a good pulse on his team, and he understands what he's trying to get out of the guys. And you got to keep in mind, you know, PJ, this is only his second year. He's going to continue to have those up and downs, but more importantly, the potential is there. You know, you see the signs, and I think as chemistry and for the team. I think, as I said, coach has his pulse on it. He knows what's best for the team. He knows how to keep that balance. You need some scoring punch coming off that bench in order to, you know, have that second unit be effective. And having Melo, who's still, like I said, he's his rookie. Having him come in, not being thrown up there with the starters, not putting that extra pressure on him. And it's still only seven games in. So having, you know, that understanding and trying to get, you know, looking at the long haul of it, I think Coach JB is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing with the crew, keeping them fresh, keeping them understanding what your role is on the team at this particular point. I know fans can always be impatient because they're outside looking in. And he's with the guys within that locker room, within that staff, they know what they're trying to accomplish, what they expect out of each and every one of the guys. And I think everybody knows their role at this particular time. So when your opportunity calls, you got to be ready, though. Right now, he's gone with that same unit since Cody's been out. They've been having some success, but it's been up and down. It hasn't been consistent enough that translate into wins. So. Like I said, it's still early. You know, I have really high hopes with PJ going forward. I have, you know, good things as well for Devontae Graham. You know, Devontae right now, he's just trying to figure it out, you know, accepting what Melo's role. Well, not so much what his role is, accepting what he's need to do. But he got to really understand what got him the player that he is, you know, the things that he did last year. You know, playing that relentless, shooting the basketball, knowing that they need his scoring and his leadership out there. So I have no doubt that Devontae going to get back to that that type of play, that high level of play going forward.
And this is only really a conversation as well, because when Melo and Bridges come on, those guys really click with each other. Like with this last game against the Sixers, Melo comes in the first quarter. He immediately grabs a rebound, goes on a fast break and throws a lob to Miles. So when you see that, it's like, whoa, we could have had this from the start. So get your mind wondering, when are we going to get to see those guys in the beginning? So I totally understand the want to see changes in the starting five or in just the minute distribution. Cause I see it too. Like I'm looking at it. You look at this and like, oh man, these guys are really good together. Love to see them play more. But like you said, you got to trust JB. Like no one knows these players more than him. And these guys are starting for a reason.
Yeah, and absolutely. And then, you know, and those are little spurt moments that you're alluding to. You know, they're, mm-hmm. they're little highlight films, you know what I mean? Highlights realms that you're alluding to. You know, Melo throwing alley-oops to the Biles and so forth. And that's what you need. They come in, they change the game. You know, they uplift the bench, and you need that, you know, that balance. And who knows, you know, going forward what the future holds. You know, Melo may wind up being in a starting lineup. But right now, you know, of course, eventually he will be there. But right now, I think they not trying to throw him out there with the Wolves, letting him come along slowly. And he seemed like he's relishing in that role. That's one of the reasons why he's having the games that he's having. I mean, he flirted around with a triple-double in the last game, you know, with 12, 9 assists and 7 rebounds. So, I mean, but not shooting the ball on a accuracy, on a more of a consistent basis, you know, shooting 35% right now. That's going to have to improve. But, again, we're not rushing him. He's getting in the minutes that he's well and deserving, playing, 23 minutes a game. And that's something that, again, early on in his career is something that he need to build up to that 30 to 35 minutes. But right now, I think they're doing a great job with him, keeping him within himself, allowing him to keep growing, keep his confidence going. And, you know, who knows, at the end, halfway point of the season, he may be in the lead of the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I think he's a great chance, especially like I'm really impressed by his effort on defense. Especially yes. in those Philly games, like there are times where Simmons and Embiid, like two world-class players, were just standing with the ball and Melo's like, nope, I'm swiping at this. I don't care who you are. I'm coming after the ball.
You got a good presence. Yeah, he does. I mean, he plays both ends of the floor. That's what I like about him. And it's not like he's a rah-rah defender. He just get his hands on, you know, he reflect a lot of balls. He's always going for rebounds, and as a guard, you like to see that. And then he has the ability to push it, you know, and pushing it meaning not only just by dribbling it, but throwing the ball ahead. So you got to love that about him.
Oh, yeah, it's totally fun. Totally fun. I'm so glad he's part of the franchise. So transitioning from the starting five and looking at the bench, Malik Monk, we got some action against the Sixers in the second game, 10 minutes. Fans are wondering what's up. Like, I am in the live stream for these games. The chat is always asking about Malik Monk. Where's Monk? We know he had COVID coming into the season. He's had a rough 2020 from the suspension to the stoppage. Mm-hmm. I think he lost someone due to COVID as well. So he's finally, it seems like, being involved in the mix again, which is great to see. After we talked last week, Rick with The Observer put out an article about his frustration about not playing. And he had a quote from Borrego. Borrego said he has no issues with Malik.
He's rightfully so.
He's doing everything he can. It's more about the group around him.
Man, professional.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and even in Malik's comments, he understands it. Like, he's just expressing himself. I think he's well within his right to be frustrated because he knows what he can give, right?
Absolutely.
Can you talk about the player mindset in that state and then what you think Monk can bring to the Hornets as a player and like how we can lean on him?
Yeah, and I feel for Malik, and because I'm a big fan of Malik and what he's gone through, what he's been going through, I really feel for him. But, you know, as you just mentioned and alluded to, he's been a true professional. He understands what's happening. You know, right now, and I think being outside of that rotation can frustrate you, knowing what you're capable of doing. You know, he put 50 points in one point of time during his career. So, you know he can score the basketball. And last year, just before the season was ending, he was having a really good season. Really good year. So, you know, that could be frustrated within itself. He just got to continue to be professional, wait his opportunity, keep getting better, you know, in practice or whenever times that, you know, you get an opportunity to work on your skills. But just be ready for the moment, because, again, he can score the basketball. You know, a guy like that can put the ball in the hoop, and you always need guys who can shoot the ball, who can score the basketball, and who can be versatile. So hopefully that, you know, he'll get that opportunity again. But right now, you know, as you just mentioned earlier, coaching him just feel like it's the, you know, he's just the odd man out right now with Rozier and Melo and Devontae Graham, you know, getting the bulk of the minutes. You got to try to find something going forward, you know, for him, because you got to decide, is he going to be part of the organization or, you know, if they want to, you know, make a change elsewhere.
Yeah. And I sit there, I see him, I know, you know, we know what he's capable of. I'd be curious, like, if he's honestly not in Borrego's plans, the idea of packaging Malik Monk with an expiring contract for a player that is part of JB's plans could be very valuable, either within the next few weeks or just before the deadline. Like, the Hornets have, depending on how the season goes and what their goals are as the season goes, they can do some things in the trade market. But keeping Malik, the idea of Melo, Malik, and Bridges being on the court at the same time with Malik's leaping ability and Bridges' leaping ability will, like, that whenever that happens, will be a good day, because we're going to get a lot of highlights out of that. I think people sleep on Malik's athletic ability. He can jump out the gym. Like, it's going to be Lob City too.
Yes,
when those guys play together.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get to see it.
You just got to get Malik more or less to understand the buy him on both ends of the floor. And I think, you know, he would do that. And because the talent, I think sky's the limit for the kid. I think he can really score the basketball. I think his opportunity, you know, someone really believing in him on a consistent basis, and him being able to have, you know, that point guard or that guard on the floor can also make him better, can also contribute to, you know, him in his success. So I like to see him, Miles, Melo on the floor as well. Again, you know, that's all coaching decision. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a game against the Hawks on Wednesday, and the Pelicans, and then the Hawks again. Actually, let me back up. After the Hawks and the Pelicans, I believe that's an ESPN game. So Hornets on national TV. if I'm getting that correct. Alonzo versus LaMelo. We get to see it. That's gonna be really fun. And then we're back with the Hawks and then the Knicks. And then those are the games in between episodes. So out of the Hawks, Pelicans, Hawks, Knicks games, like, what do you want to see out of the Hornets in this next stretch of games? Like, anything you're looking out for? Anything you'd like to see tweaked? Any performances you'd like to see?
Well, just more growth, you know, continue to share the basketball. You know, what's one thing they have been doing and one of the leading teams in the league right now is sharing the basketball. And that leads to a lot of guys having success and more guys contributing on the offense end of the floor because they need that. You know, you can't just rely on one particular guy because this is not that type of team. You know, you got to have the multiple guys scoring, the Haywoods, the Rozier, as well as the Grahams, the PJs, and the Miles, guys coming off the bench. Everybody doing their role, and Bears got to continue to keep being around the basket and be ready for those passes and catching those passes and being able to finish presenting themselves. And that's what I'm looking for in terms of watching the Hornets continue to see the growth, the maturation of Melo continuing into his, you know, understanding of the guard of the game, because it's starting to seem though it's slowing down for him a little bit. He's saying plays before it happened. He's able to create those plays. It's just the shot just not there. But the one thing I do like, he's staying aggressive with it. He's not shying away from it. He's staying aggressive, shooting the shot when it's supposed to be shot. It's not like he's forcing anything. So, you know, when you see that, you know that could be improved. So I'm watching all those type of things as I keep my eyes on the Hornets and just trying to see how we continue to get better, because I do know we do need some of that inside presence. Where he is out there, I don't know. But that rim protector will be helpful with the group of guys that we have now.
Yeah, and with Zion coming through, like, it's like, okay. I wish we had him now. But yeah, it's okay though. And then it's a process, yeah. Right? So
Muggsy, yes, it is. It's a process.
I want to ask you what I've been asked the most. A question that comes up every single time every time I tell someone I co-host a podcast with Muggsy Bogues. I'm curious if you get this question a lot as well. Muggsy Bogues, tell the world, have you ever dunked?
Yes, I was able to dunk a basketball. Yes, I never dunked in the game, but yeah, I was able to dunk a basketball. I had a 44-inch vertical, you know? So, you know, I just messing around, of course, in practice and just take a volleyball, just go up and just slam it very easily. Because you got, you know, you can palm that. But I never dunked in a game, but I have dunked a basketball, yes. Again, like I said, I had a 44-inch vertical jump.
Tell them.
I can get up off the floor a little bit.
Yeah, Muggsy. No. Talk that talk. Let them know.
Yeah. You know, that's how I was back then, you know. Dunking for me, like I said, but Spud had that vertical. You know, he 5'7", and he just got up there. But, you know, for me, landed up, dropping it in, you know, that finger roll, you know, because I never even took the chance to want to just dunk in a game. You know, it never excited me to that point. And again, you know, I'm not the one, I don't like to be embarrassed anyway. And even though trying to dunk wouldn't be an embarrassment, but I just like to make sure that I'm going to finish it off. And landing it up is always a higher percentage for me.
And for anyone else out there that's wondering,
answer to the question again. Yes, I was able to dunk the basketball, ladies and gents.
And if anyone's wondering, I have never dunked a basketball. Here's something I found though. I got close. Like you said, I'm 5'9", soaking wet.
Okay.
Like on a good day, I'm 5'9". When I was an athlete, I could hit the rim. That's about it though. If I had a tennis ball, I could dunk that. But I was looking on YouTube. I just typed Muggsy Bogues dunk just to see what was out there. Some guy took a video game clip, right? This is like 2014. It's a replay of a video game clip. It has 1.9 million views. Like he took a cell phone video of a screen of a replay of a video game in 2014, and it's almost at 2 million views. It's insane. So people are curious. They're watching this 13-second video to see evidence of Muggsy Bogues dunking a basketball. It's wild. But good on Ibby,
man. I tell you.
Cool. Well, Muggsy,
that's what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. Exactly. That's all. Yeah. That's it for this week. Is there anything else you want to get into before we say goodbye to the people?
Well, we need to talk about the Hawks a little bit. You know, they when they about to face the Hawks. Yeah, I mean, because you know they Trae Young down there.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a good matchup for Melo as well. Oh, another opportunity to see another young guard with their high status, being able, but a little short stature-wise in terms of height-wise. So that's going to be another test. Him getting the opportunity to see these type of guards and having the opportunity to go up against them, it's going to be good for him. It's, you know, the first time around. So I'm looking forward to that matchup as well. The Pelicans, we mentioned, with the, you know, the Ball brothers, as well as Zion, and you can't forget Graham down there too. So I'm looking forward to that, but I'm also looking forward to that Trae Young, because that's a lot of hype right there. That Trae Young and Melo, that's a lot of Instagram hype right there. And Melo's, he's up for that type of stuff. He loves that. So I'm looking forward to it.
I want to see, who do you think will be the first guy to shoot a three from the logo? Like, I can see, and I know Melo likes, there's footage of Melo doing it. Melo likes the deep three. We know Trae Young likes deep threes. From that logo? Yeah, from the half court logo. Yeah, from the center logo.
Oh, Trae already done it. He's going. Yeah, that's. Just,
I want to see
just
it.
That's just a natural shot in his game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's like the
we saw the other night, Stephen.
Oh yeah. The logo three is almost the new like alley-oop or dunk. Like the levels of shooting has. Yeah. Just, elevated entirely in the league where these monster three-point shots are.
We even seen LeBron shoot one the other day.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. It's awesome. So I'm psyched. So it's cool that we get to see the Hawks so soon together. Mm-hmm. And for like the players. So we saw the Hornets play the Sixers in a little mini series, stayed in the same city, had a day's rest in between, at least 1 or 2 days in between. This time they have the Hawks, they play the Pelicans, and then play Hawks again. Does that affect preparation at all? Like, is it better or worse than like having the same team twice versus playing a different team and then playing that same team again? Like, is there any difference in the prep for that, or is this another game?
No. Actually, it makes it easier for the coaching staff because they already have the footage and the game plan how we just played prior, so they ain't got to go back and redo anything, but just kind of tweak some stuff. What they want to correct and some of the things that they didn't do well at. But it's more, you know, NBA, it's just game to game. You know, guys understand that it's just another game that we got to go play. And because we used to have it in playoff because you play each other, you know, the best out of five or the best out of seven. So you get accustomed to that. But this is, you know, something totally different where because of the pandemic and the crisis, we got to be able to, you know, play each team twice in that city during a regular season game and then come back. So it's a little unconventional, but we have to do what we got to do in order to get through it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good reps, good experience for our young core. And the more of that, the better. As we need them. Absolutely. We need them to carry us. So that's it. That's it for episode 5. Is that what it is? That's what I said, right? Yeah, 5.
Yes.
Ooh. I don't know what. Time, that's one thing from 2020 that I'll just never forget, how quickly time can go. Even like in the moment, yeah, it's mad. So making the most of your minutes is everything. So thank you for spending your time listening to this. We really appreciate it. Tell a friend.
Yes, we do.
Whatever device or platform you're listening on, do whatever you're supposed to do. If it's on iTunes, rate it, subscribe, all that. You know how, you guys know how podcasts and all that stuff works. Do it. Thank you. Thanks in advance. But yeah, until next time, we'll be back Wednesday with another episode of the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We'll talk to you soon.
Over and out. See y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.